Let's go, girls.
Welcome to the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson and Molly Vogt. Molly is a former mutual fund consultant and retirement plan specialist who is currently the director and founder of My Purse Politics. Kim served as a city councilwoman, is a former investment broker, and now a successful entrepreneur. Now, let's hear what's hatching in local and national politics with the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim.
Well, welcome. We hope you are having a marvelous Monday. We are the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Monson. And Molly Vogt has returned from vacation, and she's showing off her tan.
Oh, yeah, baby. You know, I highly recommend everybody go on a vacation.
Uh-huh. Well, I hope you had a good time. You know, I did not call you once. I didn't text you unless I responded to a text. I gave you a real vacation, Molly.
Well, thank you for doing that. And I didn't check the news at all. I took a break. And we're going to talk with Helen Riley during the show. And she's going to give us some details on some amazing parallels between what's happening in America right now and what happened in China in the 60s under Mao. But one thing that you put in your article is that you've been kind of keeping away from watching the news a little bit.
Right.
Because it's so divisive. And I felt the same. And, you know, there is a group out there, let's call it an anti-reasonable discussion group. How about that? And they don't want us to talk. And they want us to get so chaotic and crazy and divided that we will come after each other. And we won't be able to stand against the other enemies coming at us, like North Korea firing another, you know, ICBM today over Japan. Mm-hmm. And what they say, chaos and disruption. But one thing that they also come after that people need to remember, they come after our souls and our stress and our minds and our balance. And so in order to protect ourselves and be able to stay on our game and continue in the battlefield of ideas rather than snapping and joining crazy where crazy wants us to join them in the streets, I say everybody take a little bit of a vacation every now and again.
Well, this sounds
does
like
a body good.
Yeah, I think it does do a body good, that's for sure. Now, we are the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim. Check out our website at AmeriChicks.com, as well as that's where we are on Twitter and Facebook, the AmeriChicks. And we are excited to talk with Helen Riley today. She's our guest chick today, Molly, and she is a good friend. She is a very accomplished author, and we will be referencing your piece today, How American Anarchy Parallels China's Cultural Revolution. So, Helen Riley, welcome today.
Thank you for having me.
And we're going to be talking for the next few minutes about what's going on in current events. Of course, we've got this thing going on down in Texas with the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey. And so certainly our thoughts and prayers go out to everyone there. But, you know, Molly, I'm hearing stories of just everyday people, heroism, people stepping up, helping people. And so the stories coming out of Texas are pretty amazing.
I agree. You know, again, going back to this time of divisiveness, where, you know, they're trying to get us to look at each other as a certain color or a political party or something like that. You know, I'm watching what's going on in the news in Texas and in New Orleans, and watching people aren't waiting for the government this time. They are rescuing each other. And you see all colors, all backgrounds, everybody going and getting in their boats and their jet skis and going door to door to help each other. They're not asking what, you know, who did you vote for in the last election or anything like that. They're helping each other. And it really makes me feel good about our people. And while the media wants us to think that we are all really, really divided, mm-hmm. I think that the way that the human people right now in America are reacting to this tropical storm Harvey really proves something opposite.
I agree with you, Molly. Actually, on Wall Street Journal Online, there's an article called Houston's Navy, which we are having an America Dunkirk moment, that
yes,
people,
I
private individuals with boats, you know, with kayaking, yeah. They are out there rescuing their neighbors. Doesn't matter your skin color, doesn't matter your immigrant or not, doesn't matter where you come from. They're not waiting for government, you know, out there, because the 911 is overwhelmed right now. So I am so encouraged by what's happening in Houston. You know, we keep them in our thoughts and prayers, but it's so encouraging to see when the natural disaster hit, that we Americans, most of us, you know, join hands together, helping each other. That's just the most encouraging thing.
Well, you know, Helen, as I was driving in, I was listening to the news, and I just kind of had an aha moment. So I want to ask you guys both about this. The news story went something like this, that there is a woman that is now, because of the floodwaters, has gone to the second floor of her home, and she has three little toddlers, three children, and she just turns her cell phone on every hour just to make sure, to see if any help is on the way. And I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute. If we've got a reporter that knows that she's on the second floor with three little kids and that she's, having to turn her phone on, every hour for just a little bit to see if help is on the way, it's like, why didn't they help her?
All right. Well, here's my answer to that then. I heard earlier on the news that a lot of people, rather than doing what they had, the local government was saying, is stick a sheet out your window or something so that we know that you're there, so we know to come help you. But people may not have even heard that news. But a lot of people are tweeting and Facebooking on their phones for help, saying, I need help. So maybe that came through. And she said, I'm at the top floor.
Right. Mm-hmm. Also, keep in mind that the flood water, the levels is so high, they cover the most major highways, and so your regular map will probably not going to work for you. So you may be able to know somebody needs the help, but you don't know exactly how to get there yet.
Good point. Okay. Good point. There's no street signs.
Okay. Well, I was just thinking, if the reporter knew she was on the second floor with little kids, then they should have helped her. That's weird. That's all I was thinking, you guys. But okay, you do make the case that maybe you just couldn't get there. So
I bet you there at least one good American out there who heard about this from the radio show, and it's going is on the way to help her.
I think that's true. That's true. So, one other quick thing. We don't have much time, but while we've been focused down here at Houston, that crazy guy over in North Korea just lobbed another missile over Japan today.
Yep. Second one this year.
Honestly, what is going on there?
Well, it went 1,700 miles, and it went up to 340 miles up. And I think he's crazy, and I think he's going to keep on pushing the envelope. We need to do something about it.
I think he's actually rationally irrational. He's not crazy. I tweet about this. I call him a spoiled fat kid. Is throwing the temper tantrum again. To him, the nuclear weapon keep doing the test is insurance policy. Mm-hmm. Basically, he said, "Hey, I'm still here. You need to pay attention to me."
Wow. I think that was politically incorrect that you called him, a spoiled fat kid? Is that what you said?
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Is a thin a privilege now?
What a bully Helen is.
Well, we'll be right back with Helen Raleigh. We are the Americhicks, Molly and Kim. When buying or selling your home, you need a top-notch negotiator with experience. Award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 25 years. Karen Levine is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interests in mind. Let Karen help you find the right home for your lifestyle. Call Karen at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation. That's 303-877-7516. Or visit her online at karen-levine.com and tell her the Americhicks sent you. Bookkeeping, accounting, and taxes, oh my! No need to worry about your company or personal finances with the proven professionals at Predovich & Company. Predovich & Company are certified public accountants who offer exceptional services to individuals, businesses, and nonprofits. Serving the South Metro area, the team at Predovich & Company strives to take a proactive approach in understanding your tax, accounting, and bookkeeping needs and situation. Give Predovich & Company a call at 303-791-3000 or check out their website at dpredovich.com and be sure to tell them the Americhicks sent you.
Have a great night out and watch the best movies under the stars at the historic 88 Drive-In Theater. All new movies are a triple feature and only $8. Children under 12 are free. Stay for one or all three. 88 Drive-In Theater, the last remaining original drive-in theater in the Denver metro area. And they've been serving the community since 1972. Be sure to visit their delicious snack bar. Monday through Thursday, get their special pizza deal. One 12-inch pizza and two 16-ounce sodas, all for only $11. Be sure to try the delicious funnel cake with up to four toppings to choose from. For more info on movie showings and times, visit 88drivein.com. And be sure to tell them the Americhicks sent you.
Hey, welcome back. We are the Americhicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. Molly Vogt is back. I missed you last week, and so I'm glad you're back from vacation. We are the Americhicks. Check out our website, Americhicks.com, and that's where we are on Twitter and Facebook. We're going to be jumping into this fabulous, I call it fabulous because it's so well written, this article by Helen Raleigh on how American anarchy parallels China's Cultural Revolution. But just very quickly, President Trump did something within the last few days. He pardoned Sheriff Arpaio down in Arizona. And I wanted to ask each of you what you thought about it. So, Molly, you go first.
Okay. Well, I think he did a good deal. I've been reading a lot of different articles here, and I've seen a lot of several legal groups that came out and said he was absolutely within his right and his scope of power as president to pardon this sheriff. And I've noticed that that Sheriff Joe actually has been the sheriff for 24 years, I believe, in his county. And his county, Mariposa, also covers Phoenix as well. And so if he is an elected official and he is being elected by the people in the community that certainly have felt the pain of illegal immigrants coming across the border and harming innocent people in their communities, harming their property. We've seen this over and over again. And they're electing him, then I feel like the people think he's doing a pretty good job. And then when Sheriff Joe had his lawsuit, well, you know, he sat before the judge last July, and rather than getting a jury trial like he was supposed to per the Sixth Amendment, the judge decided on her own that he was guilty. And so I think that that was completely unfair. Let's see, who was it? Okay, U.S. District Judge Susan Bolton. So she denied him a right to a jury trial, and he should have had one. So that doesn't make any sense to me. But the fact that he was there for 24 years and these people keep you know, electing him says he's doing a good job, and they were for their safety. And, you know, I saw President Trump today. He actually brought up, if you want to look at some bad pardons, maybe look back and look at some of the people that were released by President Obama and also by President Clinton. Mentioned Mark Rich, who he was convicted on 65 counts of tax evasion, wire fraud. He was illegally buying oil from Iran during the hostage crisis. You've got President Obama, who pardoned U.S. military leaker Chelsea Manning, who leaked military secrets of the United States. I mean, that should have been treason. He was putting us at risk. And the point is that we want to protect our country and the innocent people in our country. And that's what I think that it sounds like the people of Arizona thought Sheriff Joe was doing.
Okay.
And so if we want him to be tough on illegal immigrant crime, then we want them to be tough. Same thing with our sanctuary cities here in Colorado, Kim. We've got a mayor and we've got a governor that are saying we're going to be sanctuary state and cities and we're not going to go after these bad guys. And they're putting they're holding criminals safely and they're putting the rest of our community at risk. And that's not OK. I want to uphold the rule of law. It's there for a reason. If that law is bad, then let's work to change it. But if it's right, then let's preserve it.
OK, Molly. So now we know where you stand on that. Thank you.
Thanks for asking.
Yeah, thanks. Helen, okay, we're talking about, Helen Raleigh is in studio with us. We are at the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, and we are talking about the President Trump's pardon of Sheriff Joe Arpaio. And when I asked you guys this question during break, you kind of looked at me like you had maybe a different opinion.
And wait, real quick, before we go, we'd love for you all to weigh in if anybody has an opinion, 303-632-4160, or send us a personal message at the AmeriChicks Facebook page. Sorry, Helen Raleigh. Please go ahead.
That's okay. Well, I have I hesitate a little bit because for two reasons. One is I didn't like the timing of the pardon. Yes, you know, President Trump has you know, within his power to do it. But the timing, you know, it was a Friday night news dump, you know, right when Houston's hit by the Hurricane Harvey. So to me, that's not the right time to take charge of such a controversial figure to do this. So the timing is not right and was not right. And then also, you know, I was reading today's Wall Street Journal, you know, opinion page that the editorials, had an opinion, which I agree with. They said just because, you know, President Obama pardoned people we disagree with does not mean, you know, now we should ignore the law and the order to do the same thing. And the reason the sheriff was charged because, yes, he was really tough on illegal immigration, but his tactics was considered overly aggressive. That's why he was sued over. And he actually lost the last election by 13 points. And, you know, so you guys know, you know, I disagree with illegal immigration. I really want to have legal immigration reform so people can come here only legally, not illegally. At the same time, I do feel sympathy on a human level for the illegal immigrants. I think that there are better ways to deal with illegal immigration issues, as I laid out in my book, rather than have overly aggressive, you know, tactics. So, and actually in the Wall Street Journal opinion piece, it's laid out, even Jeff Sessions, which is also very, very tough on immigration. He's actually advised the president not to do this, let the judicial process to play it out rather than jumping to do it right now. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where I'm standing right now.
Okay. Well, thanks. Those are both very thoughtful positions on that.
Can I respond to the
sure.
timing? Just on the timing, I think because it was Friday during the tropical storm, if it had happened Saturday or Sunday, people would have said that he was trying to hide it. And if he waited much longer, wouldn't people, and they found out, they would have said, well, he waited so long. Why did he wait so long to say anything? I'm glad he did it before the weekend so it actually came out. I mean, everybody's all over Donald Trump for his timing mm-hmm. of what he says. So was that, and I don't know this, and y'all would probably know better than I, because I did not look at the news last week on my vacation.
Yeah.
But how long after he pardoned him did he announce that? Was it that day or was it after?
I don't know the detail.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I think when President Trump was at the Arizona on Tuesday, I think it's Monday or Tuesday, mm-hmm. when he was at the rally, he kind of indicated that's right. what he was going to do.
Right.
You know, he said that he's going to make a decision that the sheriff going to make the sheriff very happy. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. he kind of teed up.
Yeah.
That's what he's going to do. But nobody know he's going to do this on Friday. So mm-hmm. I think it was a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right on the, you know, from the perspective that the liberal media is going to criticize him no matter what he does, no matter when he said what,
right?
But at the same time, I just, you know, we have so many other things that we should focus on, you know, his big policy initiative. I'd rather him not doing things, you know, pick up the fight that's not necessary at the wrong time when diverting attention from the, you know, from the hurricane, from the tax reform, from the, you know, healthcare reform. We have much bigger fish to fry
yeah.
for him.
Yeah, we do. But I think there's so much chaos at the same time. If they want us to ignore something, and I don't want them to ignore anything. I want to know everything that's going on. So I don't know how you split it up, because with the crazy anti-reasonable people coming after him at all times, just get the news out.
Right. Well, and that's
searching for truth.
That's a great segue into what we're going to be talking about. Although somebody had said that if Donald Trump walked on water, the far left would say that he can't swim.
Yeah.
Poor guy. So.
Always something wrong.
So on that, we're going to go to this piece Helen Raleigh had in The Federalist just recently, How American Anarchy Parallels China's Cultural Revolution. Helen Raleigh, this is quite a piece, and you said that the response to this has just been over the top amazing.
Absolutely. This piece has been shared. It's only been out for about a week. It has been shared over 5,000 times, at least, on social media, and the numbers, you know, still keep growing. You know, for a writer, that's very sad. You know, it's a satisfactory.
That's exciting.
Yeah, that's an exciting and rewarding experience. But then, as a good American, though, the issues I addressed in this piece is actually very heavy. It's very alarming, and it's sad, you know, at the same time.
It is. And really the premise of this article is that what is going on with Antifa and the shutting down of voices is very reminiscent of what happened back in, 1966 at Tiananmen Square. And so let's jump in here. There's several different parts to this article. And let's start with, you said both of these movements started on campuses and spread. And you had started the whole article with saying that you had been avoiding the news lately because it hurts to watch this.
Right. And especially as an immigrant, that's why I use the word deja vu, right? I mentioned it with you ladies before that America is my plan B. You know, mm-hmm. I came here to escape plan A, which was communist China. And now what's going on in this country constantly reminding me of the plan A I left behind, and I don't really have a plan C laid out.
I'm not sure
yet.
There is a plan C out there.
Exactly.
You didn't think you'd need one.
I know. Exactly. So this is very, very sad. That's why I wrote this article just as a reminder, you know, something similar happened before. I mean, it's not going to be an exact duplication of what happened in the 1960 China, but it's similar enough that I want to analyzing based mm-hmm. on the three different root causes, and hopefully it will warn people enough that we should do something about it so we don't turn into 1960 China.
Well, that's our plan C, and that is one of the things that Molly and I do on a daily basis, is we engage in this battle of ideas, looking at these issues mm-hmm. as right versus wrong instead of right versus left.
Right.
Educate, inspire, and then encourage people to engage. And if we do this, I really feel confident that we'll be able to push back on this very dangerous movement that is mm-hmm. happening in America. Mm-hmm. So let's jump in here, Helen Raleigh. You said that both movements, Mao and China, and with what's going on here in America, mm-hmm. that both those movements started on campuses and then they spread.
Exactly. So if we've offered the historical background, so the Cultural Revolution in China started from a group of students with the Beijing University. For those your audience not familiar with China, Beijing University is like the Harvard of China. It's the most elitist school in China. So this group of students, they call themselves the Red Guards because they feel like only they have the right ideology, they have the right understanding what socialism is and how to achieve the utopia. And so they actually started with a poster. In their poster, they wrote down their manifestos, they question the knowledge, especially knowledge from the West and knowledge from ancient China, and they condemn the professors and the teachers, the administrators, you know, for harboring intellectual elitism and for failing to promote and support China's progress towards the utopia. And they, once they published the manifesto, and Chairman Mao realized that he could use them, use this...
Never let a crisis go to waste.
Right. Exactly. Use the ignorance of the teenagers for his own political purpose. Mm-hmm. So he elevated their political status, by receiving them at the Tiananmen Square, which mm-hmm. was the heart of the political center in China. And that event prompted the legitimacy, basically elevated this ridiculous ideology, far-left ideology, into a prime political legitimacy that it started spreading like a wildfire. So it started from elite college, then expanded to ordinary college, now to high schools throughout China. Mm-hmm. That's really what kicked off the Cultural Revolution movement in China. And that similarity here compared to American universities, as we see, what happened in Yale, in Middlebury, mm-hmm. in Columbia, NYU, and Harvard, same thing, that you start the move, that you have a group of students started from a college that they, on the one hand, they claim they want an inclusive, environment for everyone. At the same time, they shout down for any opinions, ideas that they disagree with. And now that's spreading from campus to the society.
Well, and what you said in this article here is that eventually China, the entire country, fell into lawlessness and chaos. That seems to be the goal of what's going on here right now, Helen Raleigh. And let's go to break. We're going to come back. The second part of your article says the American college students, they're resurrecting the Red Guard. Unfortunately, I think there may be some real truth in that. So we're with Helen Raleigh. Molly's back from vacation. We're the AmeriChicks. We'll go to break, and we'll be right back.
In a world of uncertainty, anything can happen. It pays to protect yourself, your family, your business, your home, and your car. And it pays to work with the proven professionals at Alliance Insurance Services. Jeremy McCallum and his Alliance Insurance Services team work with a variety of insurance companies competing for your business. Jeremy and the Alliance Insurance Services team helps you find the right insurance at the right price. They know you'll sleep better at night knowing Alliance Insurance Services is handling all of your insurance needs. Give them a call today at 303-431-9351. That's 303-431-9351. And be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Hey, welcome back. Yes, we are the AmeriChicks, AmeriChicks.com, and that's where we are on Facebook and Twitter. Our phone number is 303-632-4160. We have in studio with us Helen Raleigh. She is an author, a speaker. She's an immigrant from China, and she is a citizen of the United States, and she cares deeply about our country. So before we do that, though, Helen, does your computer always work perfectly?
No, not always. I always need somebody help.
Well, you're in luck because the middle of September, EvanYourITGuy.com is going to be going live. And EvanYourITGuy is a network of IT professionals. They're ready to provide on-demand help with all of your computer needs, 24/7, as Molly likes to say. Uh-huh. And also, if you want one of these very cool little webcam covers for your computer, they're giving them away right now. And so how you get that is you go to the EvanYourITGuy.com website. Under Discover, you'll see free webcam cover. Click on that, fill out the information, tell them you know the AmeriChicks, and you're going to get one in the mail shortly.
Yep. I love mine. It's much better than that dirty sticky tape.
So that, and it looks a lot better too. It's EvanYourITGuy.com. So we have in studio with us Helen Raleigh with this really excellent piece, How American Anarchy Parallels China's Cultural Revolution, which you put out on the Facebook, right, Molly?
Yep, AmeriChicks Facebook.
Yeah. And so we were talking about how this whole movement started at the college campus. We're seeing mm-hmm. that very reminiscent right here in the United States. And China moved into lawlessness and chaos. That seems to be where some of these groups are trying to push us. What do you think, Helen?
Well, basically what happened in China back in the 1960s was, you know, the students, college students demand thought conformity, right? And and if you do not follow their thought conformity, then they're going to use violence. They, you know, induce lawlessness. And that's kind of reminiscent to what would be happening right now on college campuses. Look at what happened. Google fired its employee.
Believe that?
Exactly. No, I cannot. That's why I'm searching for my plan C now.
Yeah, right. I'm trying not to use Google, too. It's kind of tough.
But it's bullying. It's bullying other people saying you have to believe what I believe or you can't talk or we're going to do something violent against you. And that's not America.
Well, no, to me, it's a violation of property rights, right? John Locke said property rights is not just about owning stuff. It's about your as a person, you own your thought, you own your ideas, you own your opinions. For somebody to shut you out, to say you are not allowed to share a different opinion, to me, that's a violation of property rights. And that you're right, that's un-American.
Mm-hmm. And that's why at Tiananmen Square, the other guys were holding up books saying, give me liberty or give me death. But anyway,
That was in the 80s,
continue.
Right? Yeah.
Yes, 1989, yeah.
So now the next component of this great piece that you've written is American college students resurrecting the Red Guard.
Well, the second component of this is not necessarily resurrecting the Red Guard, but their behavior in terms of destruction of history really reminiscent of what the Red Guard did back in the 1960s in China. So that in the 1960s, the Red Guards, they firmly believe in order to create this nice utopia, this new world, you have to destroy the old world. So they started this destroy the four old movements, what they consider old customs, old cultures, old habits, and old ideas. And not just old ideas, but also anything foreign, any Western ideas. So there was a lot of destruction of museums, temples, any historical sites, and, you know, even Confucius' tombs was defaced and ruined. And one of his descendants, you know, his corpse were pulled out of the tomb. They hung them on display. Exactly. And the statues, you know, the statues were defaced. And
sounds like that. What's going on here,
it's
Molly?
It's totally happening here right now. We're watching history relive itself.
Right. And it's so troubling because, you know, every civilization, every country, every generation have something good, something bad, and something ugly, right? It's not our place to erase the history or cleanse the history based on our own time-stamped ideas. Mm-hmm. It's our responsibility to keep things as it is so the future generations can have a full picture so they know what the right lessons they can draw from the history. When we destroy history, we really disrupt the link from our previous generation to our generation to the future generation. And that is a tragedy.
And we actually stop progress into something better. And I'm taking the word progress back because I mean, you know, our ancestors were really intent on wanting to leave something better to the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So they wanted to continue to improve and improve and improve. And so they knew the history was bad and they fought as hard as they could to make it better. And they did that because they knew what would happen if they let, you know, tyrants keep going or they allowed property rights to be taken away from the people. And that's why we have to continue to fight.
Well, and Helen and Molly, but Helen, when you start to take away the ideas, when you start to take away the identity, I mean, that starts to go with people's hearts, their souls, but then ultimately they take their lives. So in Mao's Cultural Revolution, you don't know for sure, but anywhere from 30 to 60 million people lost their lives.
Right.
My understanding is they went out and they killed people that just because you wore glasses, because they thought you were smart.
Right. So, there was a lot of violence against the people with different ideas that does not fit in the conform to the socialist, the communist ideology. So a lot of intellectuals, they were paraded, humiliated, and persecuted. Many of them committed suicide. Or if they did, you know, if they survived the physical abuse, they committed suicide because the life just not worth living to them anymore. And because the anarchy totally shut down the economy because nobody was producing anything, right? You know, being productive
people were starving,
was bad.
They?
Right. So people were starving. So many people died of starvation as well. So the whole movement basically brought the Chinese economy to its knee. at the end of this whole Cultural Revolution movement.
Mm-hmm. And just like Karl Marx and Clarendon Piven said, and, you know, of course, Hillary Clinton and President Obama, who followed those guys, you have to crash the system to rebuild it your way. And what we've seen in America up until now, it's been try to crash the capitalist system and get as many people dependent on the government as possible so that they don't feel like they can do that. Tell them they can't build that. Tell them they are not smart enough to go to school unless they get special, you know, unless they have a, you know, a special check mark by a certain race, unless you're Asian, as you well know, Helen Riley. Get as many people on welfare, get as many people on health care, get as many people, you know, on the government dole because they know that we can't take care of everybody. It will crash the system. But that didn't work.
Because Donald Trump got elected.
So now they have to crash the system another way, and it's by violence.
Right. And that's another thing that's very similar to what happened in 1960 in China, too, because the Red Guards, they were fanatic about, you know, political identity. I cannot talk now. So they believe only them and the selected group of people are the rightful heirs for the socialism utopia. So what do they consider the rightful heirs of socialism? You know, the Red Guards, the Communist Party members, the soldiers and the factory workers and the poor farmers, and everyone else was on the opposite side. And so the Red Guards believe only if you belong to this red class, right? You have the same ideas. You belong to this, you have this moral and pure ideological purity. Mm-hmm. Then you are the ones who are progressive. You are the ones who are going to move forward. Anybody else, because you do not have the right ideas, then it's okay to use violence to force you to conform.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Helen Riley,
like
you
ISIS.
You had mentioned Middlebury College, which is a place where Charles Murray was basically shouted down. And I had heard or read something about how everything had transpired. He had been invited in to speak by some of the students.
Right.
And the far left students didn't like the fact that he was going to be there just to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I think the college had tried to, you know, have a plan B on what to do regarding having him there. And I think that they were going to lock the doors and you know, we're trying to be careful and keep people from, you know, antagonizing each other.
Right.
But my understanding is that the protesters did not want his voice heard. So they beat on the doors.
Right.
They had horns. They had whistles. And finally, he had to kind of get out a back door. And it's like, really, we've gotten to this point in America where people can't say enough, you know, give their thoughts, give their ideas without somebody else being offended. And if they're offended, then they're going to shout them down. How did we get here, Helen?
Well, this movement for the America progressive, you know, left, far left movement has been going on for decades. Basically, it's like the Red Guards. They believe they have the moral and ideological purity, right? And so because they have those moral and ideological purity, if you say something different than what they already believe, then they feel that's offensive enough. That's to them, that's enough to justify their violence. That's why they call rightful beating. They call themselves the violence is rightful beating, which is really scary and disappointing. Especially this whole thing started on college campus. That should be the place where free inquiry of ideas and thoughts should take place.
And the other thing that's amazing to me is college campuses. And then you know, these same kids want everybody else to pay the tuition for them to attend these colleges. It's like, I think we need to start to pull back the money on that. But Molly, let's go to break. When we come back, I can just see you are just ready to ask the next question. So this is the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson with Helen Riley and her great piece, How American Anarchy Parallels China's Cultural Revolution. We'll be right back with Helen Riley, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson.
And now, the Lens of Liberty. Here is Helen Creeble.
Many cities have highway lanes dedicated to carpools, a simple way to reduce auto emissions and save gas. In Virginia, two sharp entrepreneurs, using their own cars, figured out that people would pay them to show up every morning to pick up riders. Lobbyists for the big taxi companies saw it as competition and got the state to ban the practice. These overzealous regulators should have looked through the lens of liberty. They might have seen that protecting some businesses against the competition from others is not the state's job. For the moment, you're allowed to give me a lift in Virginia, if you do it for free, but not if I pay you for your gas. Is it really government's job to forbid us from carpooling if we share gas money?
For more information, go to lensofliberty.org. That's lensofliberty.org.
Hey, welcome back. Yes, we are the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. It is great to have Molly back behind the microphone. She had a great vacation last week. We have Helen Raleigh in studio with us. She is an author, a speaker. She is an American citizen. She immigrated from China, and it's just great having her here. But very quickly, we wanted to make sure that you know what the movies are out at 88 Drive-In Theater, the historic 88 Drive-In Theater. It is Dunkirk, Annabelle, and Dark Tower. So get the kids in the car and go out and have some funnel cake and some of that great popcorn out there and say hi to Susan Kochevar. And that is the historic 88 Drive-In Theater, and it's Dunkirk, Annabelle, and Dark Tower.
Awesome. So, you know, history does repeat itself, and regardless of whether you know it or not, but the best thing is if you know it, so you can at least try not to repeat it. Try to teach your kids how to make it better. Helen Raleigh's in studio. Check out her her article. It's on the AmeriChicks Facebook page, How American Anarchy Parallels China's Cultural Revolution. Before we went to break, we were talking about kind of one group has to take the moral high ground. If one mm-hmm. group says, I have the moral high ground, we are right, we're the elite, and if you don't think as we do, then basically, then you're not human. And it's okay if we kill you. And so, you know, that happened in China in the 60s by the Red Guards. It happened in Rwanda with the Holocaust.
That's right.
We had China. We had Christine Coleman in here, and she was one of the survivors when 800,000 people died during that Holocaust in 1994. And she said, you know, just she was in a church and she saw these guys just running towards them with
machetes.
And she's like, you look in their eyes and once they kill a couple and they think they have the moral high ground, it's like they aren't there anymore. You're not human to them. Then they're not human anymore. And I think we need to be able to figure out how do we start to look at each other as individuals, as equal individuals, even though we don't agree.
Right. And, you know, over the weekend, the Wall Street Journal, I mean, I read the Wall Street Journal or not, you can tell. Even the Wall Street Journal had this really interesting interview. Basically, the title is, even the Nazis has the first, you know, First Amendment protector, you know, right to free speech. You know, you can all, what's the right response? You know, we can all condemn them. We can talk. We can peacefully protest. But the last thing we should do is to, you know, use physical violence to shut them down because, you know, they as human beings, they have the right to express their opinion too. They're not entitled to an audience, right? And we have every right to respond to that with our voice, you know, with our mm-hmm. protest, with any other peaceful means. But once you go down the rabbit hole to say, you know what, just because I disagree with you, somehow make I'm morally superior and give me the legitimate, you know, legitimacy of violence so I can respond to you with violence, that is a road with no end. That's really, really divisive to the country. Another thing I want to point out is also that I think the Houston, people's reaction in Houston, you know, with the flood and the Hurricane Harvey really gave me hope. We should keep in mind that we are giving those fringe group, both far right and far left, a little too much credit. They do not represent most of us.
Right.
Most of us will have the tolerance to respect other people's property rights. You know, we can agree to not disagree. We can have, like Kim, like you said, have a battle of ideas, but not actually engage in actual physical battle. And so most of us are like that. So we should make sure, understand those people on the far right and far left involving violence, they are fringe groups. Let's not give them too much credit for it.
But we, all of us in the middle, in this great big middle of potential, as Molly calls it, we need to engage in the battle of ideas. We
yes.
need to get our brains around the premise. And Molly, what you were talking about is individuals. I mean, you were just actually talking about the American idea, this freedom of speech, this value of the individual. And these fringe groups, they're on, you know, on each side there. But they each have their right to speak, but they don't have the right. Once you start to beat up on somebody,
right.
and once you start to say to somebody, you can't voice your idea, you are, in effect, as you said, going against their property rights.
Right.
Now, one of the last things that I'd like to chat with regarding this really excellent article, How American Anarchy Parallels China's Cultural Revolution. This is Helen Raleigh's most recent article in The Federalist. And you said this last title is, We Have to Learn from Mistakes of the Past. I would say that we also have to learn from the good things of the past.
Absolutely.
And I have had two different people reach out to me now that school is back in session, saying that, and these are in metro high schools right here in Colorado, that in history, in American history, they're starting at 1865. And we had a conversation the other day, and my friend said to this other guy in the conversation, he said, where would you start American history? And my other friend said, Jamestown, the founding of America. And just think, Helen, of all the stuff that we're leaving out from Jamestown to 1865, because 1865 starts kind of the progressive movement.
Right, right.
And
after the Civil War. Yeah.
Ladies, this is a little scary that we're leaving out the whole idea of the founding and all everything that got us to the Civil War. I mean, this is pretty scary. And this is a place that I think everyday individual Americans need to step up and take a stand.
Well, if you want to crash America, that's what you're going to do. You're going to get rid of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. And these non-reasonable folks have been trying to do that for a long, long time, saying the Constitution is a living, breathing document. It should be changed. The Supreme Court justices should change it its own rather than going through legal avenues that were actually written out how to do it in the Constitution. But because it protects freedom of speech, it protects property rights, it protects us against cruel and unusual punishment, it protects us against, you know, policemen coming into our home without a warrant to search our things. It gives us these protections. If you get rid of the whole American Revolution and the reason for it, you get rid of the Constitution.
Right. You can't. That's the downside. That's the great example of downside when you select different histories and you pick and choose a cleansing the history to decide what you should teach the next generation, and you make them misinformed. Then they can be easily incited to go to, you know, those protest movement without even recognize, you know, like all this discussion about what is constitute free speech. How should we, you know, implement the free speech? Well, if you, like Molly, like you said, if we teach our kids, you know, very young about our constitution, about how do we arrive here, and we are probably the leading countries who has this thing written our constitution and actually implemented, defended with lives and blood to protect people's right for free speech. Let me give you a quick example. In Hong Kong, same, you know, 20-year-old college student Joshua Wong, you know, he was just sent into prison. He became Hong Kong's first political prisoner because he wanted to fight for his city's people just to have the right to vote, to have the right to free speech, right? This is the same 20-year-old here in the United States, when we have constitutional protected right to free speech, and we have elitist, you know, students on college campus want to shut it down. That's such a contrast. We do not realize, cherish what we have here, and that's very troubling.
And that's because a lot of people here don't understand the history of other countries, and that's why it's so great, Helen Riley, that you're sharing your experiences, because you come from China. And, you know, over time, I think America, haven't we been the only group who has had a peaceful transition of power and political leaders for this many years in a row?
Right.
And this is the first time that we really don't have a peaceful transition.
Well, that was
the attack is on.
Well, that it was peaceful. You're good. You know, that's a good point. Is there were people the next day that said, I'm going to resist. I was driving down I-25 the other day. And I don't know what I expect a person that has a resist sticker on their car to look like, but I wasn't expecting them to look like suburban, you know, dad going down the street. I was a little shocked to see the resist sticker on the back of their car.
Well, those stickers are moral signaling, right? They are signaling they're morally superior, just like the Red Guards. They think they know what's right. They know what's good about this country. So they're signaling to, you know what? I'm a resistant because I know what's right. And if you disagree with me, then you are haters. You are phobia of this, phobia of that. And, you know, and then, you know, if we encountered in a protest on the public ground, I have the, you know, legitimacy to beat you, you know, to beat you back. That's the righteous beating. You know, to me, the righteous beating from the left just sounds like honor killing. It's just the same as troubling.
Wow.
Right? Honor killing.
There's no honor in the killing. There's no legitimacy to beating back people just because they have different ideas.
Yeah. Well, beating and killing another person actually really goes against their property rights.
And there should be more honor in fighting with your words and intellectually, like our founding fathers did, rather than picking up sticks and hitting somebody in the street that you don't know because they're wearing a different shirt than something that you like. I mean, self-defense, absolutely. We believe in that, and we fight hard in America, and we proved it in the American Revolution, and we always fight to protect our people. But fighting against our own people, there's a group that wants to divide us here, and we've got to remember that.
Well, you know, Molly, to that point, when people, instead of engaging in the battlefield of ideas, start to pick up, you know, clubs and start to hit each other, that means that they really can't defend their premise.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
But they weren't taught to, and that's our education system that has been hijacked by the anti-reasonable people. This is my new word.
And that is why we need to have all kinds of different options for families to decide where they're going to send their kids. And that is one of the reasons why the well-funded teachers union is really trying to maintain a control on curriculum and on, just education in America as a whole. So we are, oh my gosh, we're just about out of time. Helen Raleigh, we've got to have you back pretty quick. Last thought, and definitely let people know about your books as well.
Well, you know, those forget the history are condemned to repeat it. So it's important that we know the full picture of the history, and we should respect and try to preserve our history as complete as possible. And I also would encourage people want to know more about the Cultural Revolution, read my book, Confucius Never Said.
Okay. Helen Raleigh, thank you so much.
And I just wanted to give a shout out to everybody in Texas and really anyone that's in the path of Tropical Storm Harvey and say God bless you and our thoughts are with you. And we hope that you're all okay and safe. And thank you to everybody out there that's not being divisive and it's going out to help their neighbor that they may not know and may not agree with, but helping each other. That's the American way.
It's Texas.
God bless you all.
Houston's Dunkirk, huh?
Yeah.
We are going to do a quote today from Helen's piece, How American Anarchy Parallels China's Cultural Revolution. She had referenced George Orwell's book, 1984, and she said, the most effective way to destroy people is to deny and obliterate their own understanding of their history. That is going on right now here in America. My friends, we have to stand strong. We have to engage in this battle of ideas. We are in a battle for our country. We're in a battle for what we pass on to our children.
This is the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, signing off. Y'all have an awesome week. We'll talk to you tomorrow and every Monday to Friday, 5 to 6 p.m. on KDMT.